Lecture topic, the conscientious aspect of adab.
فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ومن يعظم شعائر الله فإنها من تقوى القلوب صدق الله العظيم. Most respected honorable my kiram, brothers and elders, the beautiful deen of Islam that Allah Ta'ala has blessed us with. This is the perfect way of life. And every aspect in deen brings insan towards perfection. The full, total end point of perfection nobody can reach. The Anbiya alayhi salam reached there. They were the personalities that Allah Ta'ala blessed with the peak of every good, the most beautiful akhlaq, the most beautiful adab. So we can never imagine that we will ever get to the peak, but we have to keep making an effort to improve ourselves in all aspects of deen, so that at every step that we try to keep improving in whatever it might be, whether it is in the adab, the mustahabbat, the nawafil, it obviously goes without saying that the farz, wajib, sunnat-e-mu'akkada, there is no compromise on it. But the constant improvement in the quality of these amal as well. At every step, this will take a person closer to Allah Ta'ala. Now somebody who has that goal in life, that my goal is to get close to Allah Ta'ala. People have goals in life. Somebody had to be, suddenly a whole room full of people had to be given a sheet of paper, write what are your goals in life. And nowadays everybody is writing on their phones. So what is your goal in life? Write it down. So you might get a very, very big variety of goals. Many times that goal will be just concentrated on material things. And concentrated on something or the other to do with attaining dunya. Whether it is the material things of dunya, whether the power and might of dunya, the position, some position in dunya. So something or the other related to dunya. That's the goal. How far that goal is going to take one? Person now sat down and he wrote down all his goals in life. These are my ambitions. These are my goals. Wrote it. Maybe even printed it out. Framed, maybe laminated it. Framed it. Hung it somewhere on the wall. These are all my goals in life. All big, big ambitions. And the next morning, they picked his janaza out from there. So what happened to all those goals? So those can't be goals in life which a person has to suddenly just abandon and move on, and which will come nowhere with him along on that journey when he has to leave this dunya. That can't be his goal in life. That can be part of his some necessity that he wants to acquire, something to just help him in terms of his day-to-day life in dunya. That can't be his goal. That can't be his ambition. His ambition has to be something beyond what is everlasting. And those ambitions and goals are to get close to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, to become His true servant, to uphold the deen of Allah Ta'ala in one's own life, to convey the deen of Allah Ta'ala to others, to become a servant of Allah Ta'ala in a way that Allah Ta'ala is pleased with one now and takes one with afiyat through the entire journey of akhirat. The goal to become the true ummati of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, to uphold his mission, to live his mubarak sunnah. These are the goals of a mu'min and all the other related aspects. So this has to be very clearly distinguished in our minds. What is our goal and what is something part of day-to-day life necessity, something that we do to earn a halal rizq. These two things are separate. So in any case, all these things that Allah Ta'ala has given us through Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the entire deen, all the aspects of deen, everything has a very great effect in taking a person step by step closer to Allah Ta'ala. So now when this is the goal, I need to get closer to Allah Ta'ala, then everything will mean something. Every opportunity to fulfill one adab, one aspect of adab, will mean a lot. Every opportunity to fulfill a sunnah, subhanallah. So everything about deen is a means of getting one closer to Allah Ta'ala, but this requires that a person has to have the ma'rifat of Allah Ta'ala. He has to recognize Allah Ta'ala. Recognize what deen is all about. When there's recognition of something, when that ma'rifat comes, when there's recognition, then there will be honor and respect for him. And when there's honor and respect, then a person will do everything that is related in terms of what are the necessary etiquette and adab. Now the masjid, for example, masjid is a house of Allah Ta'ala. Masjid is a place where the malaika throng. Masjid is a place where Allah's special rahmat descends. And there's so many virtues of building the masajid. Person who builds a masjid, even for the sake of an emphasis, not that this will be physically done anywhere, but if a person had to build a masjid, the word used in the Hadith Sharif is the size of a bird's nest. Now what it means actually, he contributes that amount. Nobody's going to be able to physically go and perform any salah there. So meaning that amount too, he contributed towards a masjid. Allah will build for him a palace in Jannah. Now that is such a great virtue based on what? Based on what is the value of the masjid? What is the value of the house of Allah Ta'ala? And then various other virtues. Now if a person has recognized this greatness of the house of Allah Ta'ala, this is no ordinary place. It's a very different place. House of Allah Ta'ala. So now that he's recognized what is the greatness of the house of Allah Ta'ala, that ma'rifat has come, so now that adab and ihtiram will come. Now that respect will come. Now that the respect comes, then he will be able to, without difficulty, fulfill the adab and the etiquette of the masjid. For example, to avoid raising his voice in the masjid, if that ma'rifat is not there, that recognition that this is the house of Allah Ta'ala, and as a result that is missing, then the respect and the honor of the masjid won't be there, because that comes proportionate to the extent of ma'rifat. How much is recognized that this is the house of Allah Ta'ala, to that extent he'll have the respect. And when that respect is missing, then to raise his voice, what difference it means? Person is sitting in the masjid, in the house of Allah Ta'ala, and in the masjid also, he's still busy scrolling. Even if it is not anything haram, but the azmat and the respect and the honor and dignity of the house of Allah Ta'ala demands that this should not be done in the house of Allah Ta'ala. That a person is idly now just playing around on his phone or whatever he's doing. But now when the ma'rifat of the house of Allah is missing, that respect won't be there. To fulfill this amount of etiquette also will be difficult. He'll be fiddling around, bored, what to do now? Take his phone out. Whereas the house of Allah Ta'ala, subhanallah, in the time that Allah has afforded him this opportunity, Allah Ta'ala allowed him to come. There's one well-known old story about one person. In the olden times, he was going somewhere with his slave. So now the slave was, mashallah, very conscious of his salah. The master was not conscious, Muslim person, but not conscious. So unfortunately, he was neglecting his salah. As they were going, the azan was being called. So the slave said, please, I need to go and perform my salah. So he said, okay, go. Now he's waiting outside. After some time now, people finished their salah and everybody started coming out. One, two, three, everybody finally, everyone came out. But the slave didn't come out yet. So now he is getting irritated. Then he came to the door of the masjid and said, now come quickly. Getting late. So the slave from inside said, he's not letting me come out. Said, who's not letting you come out? He said, the same being who's not letting you come in. Meaning he's taken the tawfiq away from you because of your complete disregard for salah, for the house of Allah Ta'ala. So you're not coming. Allah Ta'ala has removed that tawfiq. But now I'm suddenly so over enthusiastic to perform more salah, I'm finding it hard to come out. So the lesson in all this is that Allah Ta'ala's tawfiq, Allah brought us. So now the person was given this opportunity in the house of Allah Ta'ala, and in that duration, that time, he should be making use of that time in a productive manner, making this little time available, making some tilawat of the Quran Sharif, engaging in some tasbihat, dhikr. Other times we have no time for anything. We have no time for two rakats, nafil. We have no time for tilawat. But now the person is in the house of Allah Ta'ala. He's waiting for salah to start. He can recite tasbih 10 times, maybe not more. If the time is less, 10 times. 10 times Allah's name he took on his tongue, subhanAllah. But he rather talk to somebody. He rather just scroll on his phone. He rather just dream about something else. Rather just make some hisab kitab of what went out. What a deprivation. So the issue is the adab. Adab comes to the extent that the person has ma'rifat. That ma'rifat brings respect. And that respect makes adab very easy. And if that respect is not understood correctly, then the most simplest of adab also are very difficult to fulfill. Person has the ma'rifat, the recognition of what is the maqam and the position that Allah Ta'ala has afforded parents. He has that recognition. He has acquainted himself with it. In the Quran Sharif, what Allah Ta'ala has mentioned, وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. Alongside the ibadat of Allah Ta'ala, next Allah mentions immediately, worship Allah alone and deal with your parents with ihsan and kindness. Alongside Allah's ibadat. That meaning this is next to it. Allah Ta'ala, you worship him alone, don't worship anybody but Allah Ta'ala. And immediately with it Allah mentions, وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. Now a person has this consciousness, subhanAllah. In the Quran Sharif, Allah has mentioned this. And Allah has given them such a maqam, such a position, that Allah has, through His Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, declared, Jannat lies under the feet of the mother. Such a maqam. SubhanAllah. A person said, he understood this. He digested it. That will bring such a surge of respect in him. SubhanAllah, these personalities, Allah has given them such a maqam and position over him. So this will surge in him, that level of respect. And now when that level of respect has come to that point, it will be very, very easy to fulfill the adab that Allah has commanded in the Quran Sharif. وَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفْ. Don't even say uff to them. Now that becomes very easy. Why? Because that adab and ihtiram, that respect has come to that point. And why that respect has come so high? Because of the ma'rifat. He's recognized what position Allah has given them. As a result now, he's able to fulfill this adab. And if that recognition is missing, that ma'rifat is not there, then yes, parents sometimes will be wrong. They'll overstep the mark. But the ma'rifat is missing, so then they'll be treated like anybody else. They'll be treated like anyone else. If they're wrong, they're wrong. Can't say something is right if it's wrong. But despite being wrong, the manner of dealing with that wrong will differ with who it is. The person can't correct his father the way he corrects his son. He can correct his son in a certain way. Doesn't mean he can apply the same rule to his father. One person, one child, he was now sitting. So his father and grandfather are both present. Now he's a young boy. And now he's hearing the grandfather is reprimanding his son, boy's father, and in that he told him, Bewukuf, told him, you're a fool. So now, whatever, he told him that. So one day later, now the young boy got irritated, so he told his father, you're a fool. So the father got very upset. He said, but what else did I say? What is the difference between what I said and what Dada said yesterday? Dada said the same thing to you. He said, you're a fool. And he said that it was fine. I say it is a problem. Yes, it's a big problem, very big problem. Because you as the son have been commanded, وَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفْ. He didn't know that. He didn't have any marifat of what, this is not, he is not the father here. He is talking to his father. Now that position changed. When the position changed, the etiquette and adab changes. And now it becomes a very different situation. And the demands are very different. And he'll get taken to task very differently too. So now deen is all about adab. Deen is all about adab. And when the adab is missing, then things slide to a point that sometimes is unimaginable. The Quran Sharif, for example, now there's marifat. There's a recognition of what is the Quran Sharif. Quran Sharif is Allah's kalam. Allah Ta'ala's kalam. Nobody else. It's Allah Ta'ala's kalam. It's divine. Every letter a person recites, he gets 10 rewards minimum. Every letter. Imagine each word, the whole of Surah Fatiha. And then the Quran Sharif. The special rahmat of Allah that descends on the recitation of the Quran Sharif. The Quran Sharif is that book of hidayat, filled with every blessing. All the virtues of the Quran Sharif, open fazaila amal, virtues of Quran. So now when a person has this recognition, this Allah's kalam, subhanallah. So now when he has this recognition, then the respect of the Quran Sharif will come in his heart. Now there's a surge of respect. And now when there is a surge of respect, how he handles the Quran Sharif will change. How he holds it and walks will change. How he keeps it on some place, on some shelf, will be different. How he turns the pages while he's reciting Quran Sharif, that will change. He's not reading on just something now, flipping the pages, like looking for some surah. He's like flipping the pages of one book, any ordinary book. There'll be a way how he turns the pages of the Quran Sharif. So Quran Sharif, the etiquettes and the adab of the Quran Sharif will be extremely high in him. Why? Because of that respect and honor of the Quran Sharif. Why the respect and honor? Because the marifat of Quran Sharif is there. He's understood, at least to some extent, and everybody's understanding will differ. Some will go on a very high level. But at least there is a certain minimum amount of marifat as a result of which now he will go about handling the Quran Sharif, holding it, touching it, using it, everything he will do with it, where he places it, how he keeps it, everything will be different. Nowadays, how often it is that the Quran Sharif is under some other books or whatever, children's bags behind their backs, just kept anywhere, just kept anyhow. Why? Because that marifat got lost, the adab went away, the ihtiram and the respect of the Quran Sharif went out, and as a result now this is the way in which it is treated. Hazrat Maulana Saiful Rahman Sahib, there's one very senior alim in Makkah Mukarrama, came to South Africa many times, hasn't been here for a while now, but many times he had come. He mentioned one incident, that once in Makkah Mukarrama, he had come out of the Haram Sharif, many years back, this is probably going back some 30, 40 years ago, sorry. So he came out of the Haram Sharif. I noticed one like a crowd outside. Something is happening. He asked one person, what's going on here? He sees somebody sitting there and he's reciting Quran Sharif, but now he put his shoes on the floor and he's got his Quran Sharif kept on the shoes. And he's reciting Quran. Now people are trying to explain to him. He's ignoring them and he's fighting with them. He says, what's wrong with this? What I did? Now he can't seem to understand. People are trying to explain to him. Ma says that I realized that this, as in our expression we will say, that now, since it's not starting with the ignition, it doesn't start normally, it requires a kickstart. This car won't start with a normal start. This car will start with a kickstart only. He says, I went through the crowd and I went right to him. He says, with the right hand, I grabbed the Quran Sharif, I picked it up. And with the left hand, I grabbed his shoes and put it on his head. And as soon as I put the shoes on his head, he got very upset and he stood up in that rage almost. So now why he got upset? He said, how can you put my shoes on my head? It seems that your head, in your understanding, your head is more respectable and honorable than the Quran Sharif also. Because when the shoes came on your head, then it meant nothing. Then it was a very big problem. But when the Quran Sharif is on the shoes, that doesn't matter. Na'uzubillah. So now when that understanding is not there, then a person, he'll just keep the Quran Sharif anyway. Anyhow, how often it is witnessed, how people respect the Quran, how it is just kept anyway, anyhow. So this is all to do with adab. But when adab gets lost, there is nothing that can compare to the extent that a person gets deprived with the loss of adab. The deprivation, the mahrumi that comes with the loss of adab, hardly anything can compare with it. And what good comes with adab when a person is observing the correct adab, the correct etiquette? What good that brings, very few things can compare with bringing in so much of good. How much of good adab brings, very few things can compare with it. And how much of loss is suffered, how much a person gets deprived due to neglecting adab, that too is very, very seldom something will be of that level, bring that level of deprivation. And the sad reality is, unfortunately, that on a general note, the adab is fast getting lost. How things are done, how the masjid, the day of Jumu'ah, the day of Jumu'ah is such a great day in the life of a mu'min. Such an important day. Unfortunately, at the most for us sometimes it is that I need to just be there for Jumu'ah. But the entire day of Jumu'ah is a day of such great significance. Such great virtue. It is Sayyidul Ayyam, the leader of all the days of the week, and the tremendous virtues of reciting abundant Durood Sharif, reciting Surah Kahf on the day of Jumu'ah, Surah Ad-Dukhan, all these tremendous virtues. Al-Jumu'atu ila al-Jumu'ati mukaffiratun lima baynahuma. The person who genuinely and correctly performed the Jumu'ah and fulfilled the adab, and then the next Jumu'ah again he did the same. These two Jumu'ahs become a means of compensation for whatever mistakes happen in between. And all the various adab, the virtues of Jumu'ah. Now the person who has this ma'rifat, he recognizes what Jumu'ah is. Not just another day in the week. So now he will observe, number one, that ihtiram, that respect for Jumu'ah will come. Subhanallah, the day of Jumu'ah. And now that is the day of Jumu'ah, so now that engaging himself in a way that behoves of the day of Jumu'ah, that will become easy. Otherwise, the day of Jumu'ah, Allah forbid, if that is, for example, a free day, in the sense like, for example, a public holiday. So if that adab and ihtiram is not there, one is now a person was, now is a normal working day, but if it became a free day, Allah forbid, he'll even plan some sinful things for that Jumu'ah because of free day. Because he's completely lost with the ma'rifat of what Jumu'ah is. So now instead of respecting the day even more, honoring it, he's planning to go to places of sin and vice. He's planning to go and do some haram. Why? Because he's free on that day. So he's got no concept of the greatness and the respect and the honor of the day of Jumu'ah. Many things in deen, on the level of farz, compulsory, but they are from the direction and the jihad of adab. It has to be done. But it's part of adab. It comes from that angle. From the angle of adab. For example, salah. Salah, this is the peak of a mu'min's connection with Allah Ta'ala. That's why it's five times a day, farz. But now salah that is compulsory, so salah is what is actually the objective that a person has to perform the salah. But he has to have his ghusl in order first, the taharat. And then he has to make sure his wuzu is done too. So now that ghusl has to be correct, the wuzu has to be right. Then he has to cover his body. And if he doesn't have any other cloth, then too he has to still make sure he covers his satar. Now, these are the things that are the prelude, many other aspects too, the prelude to salah. Salah is the objective. But there's so many things before that, so that the person presents himself before Allah Ta'ala in a pure state, in a clean manner, in a presentable way. Why? Because he has to perform salah and present himself in the court of Allah Ta'ala. This is all part of the adab, compulsory adab. Has to be done. Salah won't be valid without it. But it's from the angle of adab for Allah Ta'ala. That he's coming to stand in front of Allah Ta'ala. So he has to stand in front of Allah Ta'ala in this manner. So now he's wearing that kind of clothing also that will make him presentable to Allah Ta'ala. Sometimes, for example, a person is not well, whatever, and he couldn't make it to the masjid. So now he's performing his salah at home. So now the kind of clothes he won't even come to sit with his visitors inside his own house. He'll make his salah with it. And it won't cross his mind that now, but this was not suitable. Whatever it is, I'm going to stand it. Whether it's in my own house, alone in my own room, but I'm standing in front of Allah Ta'ala. And that kind of appearance, which I won't adopt, even in my own house to sit in front of one visitor. I'm going to appear in front of Allah Ta'ala like that. Present myself in front of Allah Ta'ala in that manner. Now this is that concept of adab that deen teaches us. Very, very deep. Adab in speech, how a person speaks, what he speaks. What he speaks, how he speaks. The Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam in the Quran Sharif, they are examples of how they expressed things which bring out, subhanallah, what level of adab that it came spontaneously. Isa alayhi salatu wa salam in the Quran Sharif it is mentioned, Allah Ta'ala will ask him on the day of Qiyamah, أَأَنْتَ قُلْتَ لِلنَّاسِ اتَّخِذُونِي وَأُمِّيَ إِلَٰهَيْنِ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ. You tell the people, because this is what the Christians, they'll make this false claim. Allah will ask him, did you tell the people that they must worship you and your mother, not worship Allah Ta'ala? So now the simple answer could have been, I didn't say this. And that is correct. I didn't say this. But the Quran Sharif says that his answer will be, إِن كُنْتُ قُلْتُهُ فَقَدْ عَلِمْتَ تَعْلَمُ مَا فِي نَفْسِي وَلَا أَعْلَمُ مَا فِي نَفْسِكَ إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ عَلَّامُ الْغُيُوبِ مَا قُلْتُ لَهُمْ إِلَّا مَا أَمَرْتَنِي بِهِ أَنْ اعْبُدُ اللَّهَ رَبِّي وَرَبَّكُمْ. His response won't be, I didn't say it. Because to say it like that, I didn't say it, is like a kind of retort. It's a kind of retort. He will say, Ya Allah, if I did say it, you would have known better than me. Because you know everything about me. And then he will after then express, Ya Allah, I told them, أَنِعْبُدُ اللَّهَ رَبِّي وَرَبَّكُمْ. Worship Allah, who's my Rabb, who's your Rabb. But the straightforward answer could have been, I didn't say it. But he didn't use that. Don't use it. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam is enumerating all the aspects that who is Allah? الَّذِي هُوَ يُطْعِمُنِي وَيَسْقِينَ. Allah grants me to drink and feeds me. Allah feeds me and gives me to drink. وَالَّذِي يُطْعِمُنِي وَيَسْقِينَ وَإِذَا مَرِضْتُ فَهُوَ يَشْفِينَ. He's saying everything what Allah does. Allah does this for me. Allah does that for me. When it comes to the aspect of sickness, sickness also is from Allah Ta'ala. He says, وَإِذَا مَرِضْتُ. When I get sick, Allah gives me shifa. Whereas that was correct also. But the adab required that don't attribute this in that manner. Though it's a reality. Though it's a reality. But subhanallah, this is the natural adab. But now when a person loses adab, adab actually refines the insan. It brings out that inherent ability of kamal. Allah has placed this inherent in every person. He has that potential of perfection now, but perfection, where are we going to ever get to the peak of perfection? But it will refine this insan tremendously in what he does, how he does it, what he speaks, how he acts, how he handles situations. He doesn't always have this, I just lost it. Well, I was stressed and I was under a lot of pressure. That's part of dunya, it happens to everybody. Everybody gets under stress and gets under pressure. And so now any time that I'm under stress, so adab out of the window. Every time that I'm under pressure, then adab out of the window. That's not an insan that is kamil. That is not a refined insan. That's not an insan that has learned and gathered and gained etiquette and adab. Adab makes an insan, it adorns him, beautifies him. And this is what then attracts Allah's makhluk also. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah addresses him in the Quran Sharif. فَبِمَا رَحْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ لِنْتَ لَهُمْ وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَضًّا غَلِيظَ الْقَلْبِ لَنْفَضُّوا مِنْ حَوْلِكَ. Allah's special rahmat, you are very soft-natured with all the sahaba. That soft-naturedness is part of this adab. This is part of this adab. This adab makes a person like that. Had you been harsh and hard-hearted, then everybody would have disappeared. Sometimes in our own homes, let us consider how things are. In our circles, in our workplaces, wherever we are. We always are in some loggerheads with somebody or the other. There must be some reason for it. Maybe the reason is within ourselves. One Urdu couplet, which the words are not in mind right now. But poet says, my whole life I made one mistake. I carried on shining the mirror, but the dust was on my face. So I'm looking in the mirror and see something is dirty. So now I'm shining the mirror, but it's not getting clean. So now I'm shining it more, but it's not getting clean. I'm getting upset with the mirror. But the dirt was on my face. If I just took one little effort to clean my face up, I would have seen no dirt there. So now sometimes you have to look inwards. Is it me? Am I the problem somewhere? Yes. When, yeah, a lot of things happen. Many people sometimes may falter in how they deal with us. I also need to reflect upon myself. I need to look within myself also. So now what helps a person to look within himself? Adab. So now this is something to be inculcated. Many times we hear these terminologies. Farz, so a person got some consciousness of deen. Okay, it's farz, I have to do it. That too is not I have to do it in that sense. Like now it's a burden now, but I got no choice. No, the farz, wajib, any amal of deen, I want to do it. Yes, I have to do it because it's compulsory, but I want to do it because this is the command of my Rabb. This is what Allah has commanded me. And Allah's bounties on me are countless. This is the small little token of appreciation for Allah's countless favors and bounties that I fulfill the obligations of deen that Allah has placed upon me. But now if it's farz, it gives us some degree of now concern, I must fulfill this. Wajib, yes, I must fulfill it. Sunnah the muqaddah, well, okay, it's important. Sometimes if I left it, not too serious. And the rest of it, don't count. Whereas, all these things really go to shine this insan. A person has got that car, it's moving. So now it's moving, he's not bothered whether it's scratched, whether it's something is hanging somewhere. How dirty it is, nobody does that. He's shining it and shining it more and more and shining the magrams all the time. For the car, for the shoes also, that must shine. But our heart to shine, as insan to shine, in terms of the adab, the etiquettes, the way of life that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam has given us, that must become a goal. You've got many other goals, many other ambitions. Make this the ambition. I need to get very close to the Mubarak way of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I need to follow that way of life, bring in those adab, bring in those etiquettes, that manner, and then that is what will make a home a home. That is what will make society a society. That is what will make a masjid environment a masjid environment. And likewise everything else. That is what will bring the rahmat from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. That is what will take us and bring us closer to Allah ta'ala. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala give us the correct understanding, enable us to adopt these adab, bring ourselves onto the path of adab, adab in every aspect, adab with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, adab with Allah ta'ala. This is, how do we adopt adab with Allah ta'ala? So one is the consciousness of Allah ta'ala, to the extent Allah's marifat is there, there'll be adab for Allah ta'ala. One very great personality, Hazrat Maulana Masihullah Khan Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh. Many of us may have heard of him, many may not have heard of him. Many great senior ulama like Hazrat Maulana Abdul Haq Malda Sahib, Hazrat Mukti Salabi Sahib, others. He was their sheikh. Very, very senior person. His consciousness of Allah Ta'ala was of such a level, he couldn't even sleep without his head covered. In the middle of the night, his eyes open, first thing he's checking, is his topi right? Because he's so conscious of Allah Ta'ala, and in the presence of someone senior, you don't want to be head uncovered. And in his last moments of life, as weak as he was, he could hardly even move, but repeatedly checking his topi on his head. And he passed away in that condition. Now that adab, adab brought him to that level, subhanallah. But where it came from? The extent of marifat. So now this adab for Allah Ta'ala, one sahabi asked Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, person is in, he's alone, he's in solitude basically, there's nobody else present, in that when he's alone, and if he hasn't fully covered himself without need, now one is out of necessity, he has uncovered himself, but now without need, he's now, satar is not fully covered. Is that okay? So the answer Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, فَاللَّهُ أَحَقُّ أَن يُسْتَحْيَا مِنْهُ. Allah is more worthy of being, of adopting haya for Allah Ta'ala. Now, one is somebody can't stay with his head uncovered even while fast asleep. And otherwise, now sometimes the person is alone in his home or whatever, sometimes wearing his shorts and walking around unnecessarily. The tie is part of the satar. Adab, when there's adab for Allah Ta'ala, then that won't be the case. And likewise, other situations. So now these are all, there's so much of detail to this entire aspect. But the simple lesson for us for now, to start becoming more conscious of adab and bring it alive in our homes. This is the protection of deen itself. When things start falling apart from the sides, so now when the outer protection has fallen off, then what's before it gets exposed, then that starts peeling off, then iman itself is at risk. And therefore the statement of the Arifin, Abdullah bin Mubarak rahmatullah alayhi, the statement is attributed to him. Man tahawana bil adab uqiba bi hirmani sunnah. The one who regards the adab and the etiquettes as trivial, insignificant, let it be, doesn't matter. He will get deprived of practicing on the sunnah. And man tahawana bi sunnah uqiba bi hirmani al-fara'iz. The one who treats the sunnah as light, okay, I did it fine, didn't do it. The result of that will be he will get deprived of the farais. And then when the person starts treating the farz also lightly, how is he going to treat the farz lightly? His salah became qaza, it didn't even bother him. That's treating it lightly. That the salah became qaza, he should have been shocked. On one occasion, Nabi Kareem Salaam Fajr became qaza. One occasion. Allah made it happen to teach the ummah that what happens if something happens by chance. And when he woke up with a shock. And then what he did, instructed the sahaba, immediately leave this place, this is a place of shaitan. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is present. Abu Bakr radhiyallahu anhu is present. The sahaba are present. And this happened without any deliberate doing. It happened just by chance. They were on a journey, late night, and now stopped in the last part of the night. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stood up to make some salah. The sahaba then went to rest. Who's going to wake everybody up? Arrangements are being made. Bilal radiallahu anhu volunteered, I will remain awake. And now he remained awake right till the time of Subah Sadiq, close to Subah Sadiq. Now he decided that it's almost time. Let me sit facing the horizon. And as soon as I see the light appearing, then I will wake everybody up. So now he sat facing the horizon and then he was now, something was behind him, so he just leant on it. He too was so tired. As soon as he did that, the next thing, he was fast asleep. And the first person to wake up was Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam himself, when the rays of the sun fell on him. And he woke up with a shock. And then he started, woke everybody up, said, immediately move out of this place. They journeyed a short little bit distance further down. Now everybody stopped. First thing is to make the qaza of that salah that was must. Allah Ta'ala made this happen once in the life of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to teach the Ummah the procedure and the manner and what's to be done. But this now, a person misses one salah, two salahs, five salah, and doesn't give it a second thought. What happened? He's treating the faraiz also lightly. Allah forbid, uqiba bi hirmanil ma'rifa. His next is his iman is at stake. But now where it started off from? Regarding the adab as insignificant. So now when it came up, then the person missed his salah with jama'ah, nothing big deal. I made my salah at home, but I missed my jama'ah, no big deal. But that is going to become the stepping stone to missing the salah itself. And Allah forbid where that will lead. So we have to bring the adab alive, bring it alive in our homes, in our own lives, repeatedly talk about it, discuss it with our children. Every small aspect that we can, the adab of eating, the adab of drinking, there's so many adab in every aspect. There's many authentic books on the subject. Learn the adab, discuss it with our families. Inshallah, this will become a means of protecting our deen, our iman, and will enhance us, will take us closer to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala, give us the tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Said Guru Shri. La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu tabaraka wa ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa ashabihi وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا يا ربي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم جزا الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهل لا إله إلا الله La ilaha illallah, 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 Nainaha illallah, nainaha illallah, nainaha illallah, nainaha illallah. Muhammadur Rasulullah, sallallahu tabaraka wa ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa ashabihi wa baraka wa sallama tasliman kathiran kathiran. الله الله جل جلاله عم نواله الله 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 Allah, 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 La ilaha illallah محمد رسول الله صلى الله تبارك وتعالى عليه وعلى آله وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله. اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله. اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله. اللهم لا نحصي ثناء عليك، أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك. الله لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم، وعنت الوجوه للحي القيوم. يا أحدا صمدا لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد. جزا الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله. يا ربي صلي وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كله. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا ظلمنا أنفسنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. لا إله إلا الله الحليم الكريم. سبحان الله رب العرش العظيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. نسألك موجبات رحمتك وعزائم مغفرتك والغنيمة من كل بر والسلامة من كل إثم. اللهم لا تدع لنا ذنبا إلا غفرته، ولا هما إلا فرجته، ولا حاجة هي لك رضا إلا قضيتها ويسرتها. يا أرحم الراحمين، يا أرحم الراحمين، يا أرحم الراحمين. إله العالمين يا الله، most merciful, most gracious, most kind, most loving Allah. Ya Allah, forgive us, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, forgive all our major and minor sins, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, forgive our families, Ya Allah. Forgive our friends and relatives, Ya Allah. Forgive the entire ummah of Nabi Kareem, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ilahul alameen, Ya Allah. Make us your loyal servants, Ya Allah. Make us your true slaves, Ya Allah. Ilahul alameen, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, save us from the traps of nafs and shaitan, Ya Allah. Save us from following in the footsteps of nafs and shaitan, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, make us the true ummatis of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah, Allah grant us complete submission, Ya Allah. Enable us to fulfill all your commands, Ya Allah. Allah save us from every vice and sin, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah, you grant us tawfiq, Ya Allah. You bless us with hidayat, Ya Allah. Allah take us to the highest levels of hidayat, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, bless us with the nisbat of the awliya siddiqeen, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, fill our hearts with your mahabbat, Ya Allah. Fill our hearts with your mahabbat, Ya Allah. Remove the love of dunya from our hearts, Ya Allah. Remove the love of the ego, Ya Allah. Remove all the evils and vices, Ya Allah. Remove the pride, the malice, the jealousy, the arrogance, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, fill our hearts with your mahabbat, Ya Allah. Fill our hearts with the love of deen, Ya Allah. With the love of the amal of deen, Ya Allah. With the love of the efforts of deen, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, accept us and our progeny till qiyamah for the khidmat of deen, Ya Allah. With ikhlas, with afiyat, with qabuliyat, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah, all those who are sick, give them shifa'i kamila, ajila, mustabirra, da'ima. Allah, remove every trace of their ailments, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, those in any kind of difficulties, hardships, remove it with afiyat, Ya Allah. Allah, grant itminan and sukoon to the hearts, Ya Allah. Allah, fill the homes with barakat, Ya Allah. Fill the homes with happiness, Ya Allah. Fill the homes with muhabbat, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. Remove all the shaitani aspects from every home, Ya Allah. All the influences of shaitan, remove it, Ya Allah. And all the devices that are bringing azab, Ya Allah. Allah, enable us to stay far away from it, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah, save us from the sins of the eyes, Ya Allah. The sins of the ears and tongue, Ya Allah. The sins of the hands and feet, Ya Allah. Allah, purify our hearts from every sin, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. Allah, all that we have asked for, Ya Allah, out of your grace and mercy, grant it to us, Ya Allah. Allah, all those who have raised their hands to this dua, Allah, you fulfill each one's dire needs, Ya Allah. Each one's pious aspirations, Ya Allah. Remove each one's difficulties and hardships, Ya Allah. Allah, throughout the ummah, Ya Allah, every Muslim, Ya Allah, grant afiyat in deen, Ya Allah, afiyat in dunya, Ya Allah, protect from every difficulty and hardship, Ya Allah. Allah, our brothers and sisters in Gaza, in Sudan, Ya Allah, wherever else in Palestine, throughout the world, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, all those in any kind of difficulty, hardship, Ya Allah, remove their hardships and difficulties, Ya Allah, grant them afiyat, Ya Allah, Ilahul Alameen, grant istiqamat on deen and iman, Ya Allah, take us with perfect iman, Ya Allah, raise us on the day of Qiyamah with perfect iman, Ya Allah. Allahumma inna nas'aluka min khayri ma sa'alaka minhu nabiyyuka wa habibuka sayyiduna Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa na'udhu bika min sharri masta'adaka minhu nabiyyuka wa habibuka sayyiduna Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Anta al-musta'an wa alayka al-balagh. Wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi al-aliyy al-azim. وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا محمد وآله وأصحابه أجمعين والحمد لله